you're a senior. You're graduating. What year did you graduate?
72.
Did the Muskogee paper ever say, if you go off to college, you can come back here and work? Or was there...
My editor, who was kind of notorious, his name was John Lewis Stone. He was related to Willard Stone, the artist. But John Lewis told me, he says, because by that time I had convinced my parents that I should go to OSU and not to Northeastern. And so I was all getting ready to go off to OSU. And he told me that I probably would not have a job if I came back in the summer because they will have taught me things that are useless. And he always wanted me just to stay and work at the newspaper.
They, meaning OSU, would have taught you things that
That's
are useless.
That's correct.
Why was it the Northeastern OSU thing?
What? That was money, and it was also about proximity. So if you went to if you lived in Muskogee, you went to Northeastern, you could just drive over for the day and come back. So the big decision for my parents, and they'd already made it for my older brothers, I needed them to pony up. And my father was very blunt. He said, "You can do it, but every time you make a D or an F, you have to pay me back the tuition for that course."
And did that happen?
He came close, but it didn't.
Why did you want to go to OSU?
They had a really good journalism school. They had newspaper journalism. OU was more into, at that time, into magazine, and they were starting to develop TV and radio. OSU had a good radio program that was really kind of based in its news. KOSU and the Daily O Collegian, the newspaper there, were really kind of tied together. The school supported it. So I could see that the university was happy that the O Collegian was there.
So
that changed later, but it was at that time they really looked at it as a value to the university.
So I'm already looking back. You launched your career because you were mad.
Yep.
That's how it got started.
Pretty much.
So you're at OSU. They have a newspaper.
They did.
You obviously worked for that newspaper.
I did.
And were there some, was that immediately as a freshman then? Yeah.
No. It was when I became a sophomore. I went through some courses. I was settling out. I had started, I was thinking I really shouldn't limit myself to journalism. And so I wanted to check out the School of Architecture at OSU, a very fine school. And I had taken some classes in high school in drafting. And so I was interested in that. And then I realized I needed to really have high math skills. And so I dropped all the architectural schools and went back to journalism. So in my sophomore year, so I went as a reporter. And then in my junior year, I figured out that I did not want to be the editor of the newspaper. I wanted to be the chairman of the Board of Publications over the newspaper so I could pick the editor. And that was kind of a real early realization of how people have influence over others and other things. And so I became the chairman of the Board of Publications, and there were other students there, and so we were in charge of the yearbook. We oversaw some things at OSU, KOSU, but also the Daily Collegian. And so I remained in that for the next 3 years. Yes, I did two senior years.
Two senior years.
Yeah, so I was there at OSU for 5 years. I wasn't paying attention to my classes, and so I was passing, but I was just always short of the credits that I needed because I was spending all my time practicing what I did.
Was this a tough sell to tell your father I need 5 years to graduate?
It probably was. I don't remember a big discussion about it. The other thing is I was starting to make some money because I had realized that everything I wrote at the Daily O'Collegian, I could also sell to the Daily Oklahoman.
Okay.
And that helped me because I was not only the O'Collegian reporter, but I was also the Daily Oklahoman reporter, the state's largest newspaper.
So that must have been a thrill to see your name byline in the Daily Oklahoman.
And it made my grandfather and Ada very happy because he subscribed to the Oklahoman, and so he could follow my stuff as well.
So there are going to be issues, apparently, wherever you go. There must have been some, as you wrote for the student newspaper at OSU, some topics that you got right in the middle of it, of the whole thing. Am I writing down the right path here?
Yeah, there were plenty of those.
And let's pick up on a couple of them.
So the funny one was, I'm probably a senior at this point, and there is this phenomenon that's come to the middle part of the country where cattle were found out in the middle of their fields with their throat slit and their blood drained. And over time, the rumors about how these cattle died just went wild. So from one extreme, aliens landing and killing the cattle, to the other extreme, satanic bands of youth out, you know, sacrificing these cattle. So David Bourne, former U.S. Senator, was governor at the time. And so David formed a cattle mutilation task force. And it was run by a guy named Roger Webb, who was later, he was director of public safety, and later was the head of NSU, and then Central State at Edmond. And Roger, both of them were good intentioned, and so they started looking into it. Of course, we were writing about it, and then my partner in writing about it, Mike Ward, also had a similar relationship as I did with the Oklahoman, so his stories appeared also in the Tulsa World. So in effect, we had statewide coverage of everything we wanted to write about. And so we started writing about the cattle mutilations. And it just was nuts. And finally, we had to set a standard before we wrote a story about some other cattle mutilation. You had to actually, the sheriff couldn't just say the aliens landed, they killed our cattle, and we're shipping all our cattle over to the OSU Diagnostic Center. I remember taking photographs of a helicopter, an Army Oklahoma National Guard helicopter, airlifting cattle over to Stillwater so they could be autopsied. It was just, the whole thing got really out of control. So we started saying, if you can't show us some evidence, like there's big pools of blood that were there, or footprints, or something like that, we're not going to write a story. So that reduced the number of stories we wrote. A couple people did books about it, and eventually it stopped. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was my opinion, it was wolves. It was other predators who would see a sick cow out there and attack it. And they knew that if they went to the throat, they would. That was the best way to kill it. So that was a very weird story. It had an OSU connection, because OSU was very much involved in doing all the autopsies on everything. But it got big statewide publicity for, I mean, this thing may have gone on for a year. Hmm. It was crazy.
Didn't ranchers or farmers want to hang out at night maybe? And just...
Yes, they did. And people came out with lights and various things to try and, you know, but it was, I mean, we find this today, but people kept, you know, hold on to some, the weirdest ideas of the reason behind something is happening without any evidence. That was the great, yeah. And eventually I was able to talk and laugh about it with both Roger Webb and David Bourne. Because I would continue to write about them in the coming years. And then the others is whenever I wrote about the university, I invariably would make Dr. Com, who was the president of the university, upset because, you know, he really did not want, he didn't think the newspaper should be writing anything about, you know, academic standards and things like that. So
what kind of story did you do that would upset him?
Trying to think of the best. You know, I don't know. It's been a long time, but I could probably think about it. But he was mad. And, of course, then I saw him later when he ran for Senate and lost to David Bourne, Robert Com, Bob Com.
Okay.